This conference will.
Tommy Jewett is our guest, one of our guest speakers at our upcoming international convention at Manifest. So, and a lot of you know I've done the Strategic Acceleration book, and you're going, well, isn't that the same as this one? No. The Strategic Acceleration is clarity, focus, and execution, right? And it was a great book. It still is. It is a great book. If you'd like to review that one, you always go back. And my last week in November and first 3 weeks in December, I did a total book review. It took me 4 weeks to do that book review because the information was so massive and so critical to understand. And I think you will always be benefited by reviewing that over and over again and doing those exercises. So it's a terrific book. What this book is about, it's about strategies to put you on a fast track to new levels of achievement. Now, how many on this call would like to be on a faster track to new levels of achievement? I would hope that all of you are raising your hand at this point in time. Otherwise, we're going to have to get your head examined. We're in a faster-paced society, but the idea is that if we can avoid pitfalls and traps and stumbling and going off on bunny trails and, you know, I mean, a million and one things that take us, you know, down the wrong avenue, wouldn't it be a blessing? Wouldn't it be a blessing to be as efficient and effective as we possibly can be? And you can't deny that would be important to you and your life in many ways. This isn't just about what we do in Manatech. This is about what we do in life. Even this has to do with relationships. It has to do with every aspect of our life. And so today's book and the insights in his book are really something you can apply to anything and everything in your life to get yourself back on a better track for success. And so let's jump in and start talking about what he has to unveil in here. And so first of all, just as an introduction, he talked about, you know, what is success, you know, because we've talked about this on this call, and I'm sure you've read plenty of materials about success. And success is really subjective, so it can be evaluated at many different levels, at many different standards. It's really difficult to define. And some people measure success in terms of money or material possessions, some by degrees of power and influence, others, you know, by relationships, and still others talk about spiritual or emotional criteria. If you look in God's view of success, if you can find that in the Bible in Proverbs, particularly in the book of Proverbs, you're going to find that he really deals with success being having a good reputation, moral character, and spiritual devotion to obey God. I mean, that's how he defines it. I mean, that's really what the whole gist of biblical scripture is about, is that concept of good reputation, moral character, and our dedication of our lives to him. So that's success in biblical scriptures. But whatever you choose is your definition of success. You know, the premise of this book is that the process of achieving success can be expedited in our lives if we are willing to change, right? We need to be willing to change. So what's the downfall? The downfall is that we're not willing to change. So it's really a concept that if we aren't willing to change, then we won't achieve the success that we're looking for. So change is an absolute required part of us achieving that success. So let's look at, he divides his book up into three basic sections. One is foundations, the second is strategies, and the third is tactics. So we're going to kick off, and we're going to start off with just laying the foundation, and that's getting, again, for me, it's getting clarity, setting the right rocks, you know, building your house on a good foundation. And he starts with the belief window, and we talked about this. This came out of exercise 2 in his Strategic Acceleration book. It's a concept that we make decisions. All of the decisions we make in our life are already kind of made for us because they come out of our belief window. We have this belief window, and it's exactly how we view the entire world through our belief window. And that belief window is things that we've accumulated over years, whether it was given to us by our parents, which is a lot of it. Most of your belief window develops between the age of like 3 and 8 years old. So you can tell how much of it comes from our parenting, our parents' parenting. I mean, I do a lot of coaching around this, and it's amazing how many in my counseling that I do and coaching that I do in my foundation, how many times a parent walks in, you know, full of fear, full of this, anxious and all this kind of stuff, and worried about the daughter because the daughter is showing all this anxiety and all this fear, and I'm going, where do you think she got it from? I mean, it's just, it's amazing how we self-replicate in our children. It's amazing. And I've never had children, so I didn't have that experience myself. But in talking to my husband and other people and all the experiences I've had now, of course, I recognize that a parent's, that sometimes parents' greatest fear is that their inadequacies or their faults are going to show up in their kids. And guess what? They do. Why? Because we don't change. You want your kids not to have your faults, then choose to change. Get rid of your faults, right? But no. We don't. We just hope and pray that they don't develop them. It's like, it's pretty humorous. But we have these belief windows that we have as people, and we cast these things. We burden our offspring with them, but we burden ourselves with them, most importantly. So Tony wants everybody to understand, as do I as well, that you know, we got to take a view of that belief window and see what are the rules that we've established for our lives, because everything else that plays out in our life is dictated to by the belief system that we adopt. And there's 10 different categories he puts. You can look at exercise 2. It's back on the last week in November. If you want to go in manatrain.net, look at my website and print off that. If you can't remember or you have not been on one of my calls before, that was the first section of Strategic Acceleration book that I reviewed, and I posted exercise 2. Still my favorite exercise. Favorite exercise to work with people on, because if there's something awry in your belief system, if there's something awry in your view of self or view of love or view of money, and money's probably the most ill-conceived concept in most people's lives, because they let it control them, and it's a sad thing, but it's because they put too much power in it. Their belief around it is crushing, or they come from, you know, extreme scarcity, which is another crushing blow. So you create scarcity all around you because you create space for scarcity to exist, and you just create it everywhere. But we have these beliefs, and we need to tackle those, and we have to be willing to change. And the first thing we have to recognize, though, in that willingness to change is that we have ability to control what goes into our belief window. Instead of saying that's just the way I am, which is the game I played for years and years until I became aware. Okay, so you have to become aware that, you know, it's something you can change. And you guys know me, who've been on my calls before, I've talked about it. You know, somebody says, well, Mary Jo, what did you find when you went on that research? And well, number one, I found I was like a control person. I had to be in control. Number two, I always was competitive. I had to win at all. You know, I would win. That was my role in life. And three, I needed to be right. So those three are just many of the characteristics that had developed in my life through my belief window. And that when people would say, well, Mary Jo, you're really competitive, I said, yeah, I know. That's kind of how I'm genetically made. Well, that's not true. We don't come out of the womb competitive. It's something that develops in our belief system, and we have an opportunity to shift. So, but I didn't see that. I didn't see that existed. So I wasn't able to amend my belief system for almost 40 years. That's a heck of a long time to go and screw up a bunch of relationships, isn't it? I mean, it really is when you look at it, because it's, you know, even though I had wonderful relationships out there, it interfered with my ability to have a good relationship with people. Because I always had to win, I had to compete, right? I had to be right, I had to be in control. I mean, my goodness gracious, talk about phenomenal roadblocks. Those are like mountains. But I could see that it wasn't working, but I didn't see that I had an opportunity to change it. I thought it was part of who I was. It was my makeup. If I had to define Mary Jo, I would have given a different definition. Well, through the transformation I went through because of acknowledging that I could change my belief system, now I could just cast those aside. And how do I change a belief? I replace it with a more effective belief for me. Like one of my beliefs I now have in my life that I didn't have, you know, 20 years ago was, everyone has something to offer me because everybody has had a different life. So I want to listen to everything you have to offer. I didn't have that belief before, but that's a cornerstone to my beingness today. Another one is, you know, just being interested. So be a great listener. I want to hear. That's another one I didn't have. People are core to my success. I didn't have that belief before. I thought I was core to my success. If you're stuck in that one, you're really stuck. People are core to your success. To your success. Win-win is the only way to play. Wow. Is that a different belief than I had to win? Huge shift. Rejoice for all winners, because as long as I do my best, I'm also a winner. When I was in a race before and I lost, oh my gosh, I was one of the worst losers. You know those worst loser types? Because I had to win, right? So you have, and lead from the back. So I just gave you a number of beliefs that I've shifted into that have changed my belief structure. And it's just awesome how life shifts with you. When you take those beliefs and you shift them, now all of a sudden there's a transformation that occurs in your life in an incredible way. And that's what he's talking about here, is understanding those belief windows and being willing to shift into things that are more effective, that are going to create better results for you than the ones that you've held on to. And some of you have held so strongly onto them, your knuckles are white. He suggests in formulating your belief window, you write down what you believe, okay? So you can look at that exercise too, and that's just 10 items that just are, and not just 10, but probably the most crucial 10, but we have beliefs around everything in our life. But he says, write down your beliefs about them. So you could take those 10, write down your beliefs about them, and then go do some research in the scriptures. Look at chapters 5, 6, and 7 of Matthew, Proverbs, and 12th chapter of Romans. And there you're going to find a lot of great stuff that might help you shift some of those things that you've written down, because they're all crucial. Insecurities caused by false principles in your belief window produce fear. So we create our own fears. You understand that? Because we have false principles in our belief system, which cause insecurities, which trigger fear. And what is it? Fear paralyzes success. And as we know in Scripture, it tells us perfect love casts out all fear, 1 John 4:18. So we want to make sure that, you know, fear isn't a part of our life. When you're living in fear, you're casting out faith, because fear and faith can't coexist. So that fear is negating space for faith, and I don't think we want to live that way. So it's really crucial for us to get that clarity. And I love this quote, education is a progressive discovery of our own ignorance. Isn't that beautiful? It's so wonderful. We always think, oh, I'm getting brighter and smarter, and I'm adding. And this is the problem. We think that education is about adding onto what we already know instead of going back and digging through and casting out stuff that we, quote-unquote, thought we knew and needed to be changed and redirected. And that's the real education. That's the real transformation inside of us in many ways. So it's a beautiful quote. That's one of those that belong on the top of that computer use. All right. So belief window is critical. A well-managed life as a foundation. And he talks about good management skills essential for sustaining the discipline to produce continued success. And talks about the balance wheel of life. And many of you are familiar with this. You've seen it before. Six basic areas that we need to work on. Spiritual, social, educational, home and family, physical and health, and financial. Those are your six areas, and they have to be in balance. You need to have goals in every one of them. So it's not about setting goals just in Manatech. It's about what are your goals in all these areas of your life, and you need to have balance in them. And they're all critical for your success. Yeah. And in almost virtually every single one of these, if you focus on relationships and becoming a better listener, you're going to support growth in every single one of those areas. And I won't get into all that because you're familiar with them, but it's great stuff in his book on each, and he has a couple pages on each one of the categories that really are insightful. And he talks about success is only achieved through the effective use of our time and resources and by finding the right balance within each of the six areas of life. And if you look at these six areas, I just challenge you to look at them and say, where have I been negligent in these six areas of my life? And you know, you're gonna open up a can of worms of why maybe you don't feel that sincere level of contentedness inside of you, because these are not in balance in your life. You've left something aside. You've ignored something. I had a good friend of mine the other day. He was talking about how great he was, and he was doing an evaluation of all this greatness and everything, how he's pouring into his life and he's making a fortune, bloody so successful. I mean, this kid, he's like in his early 30s, he's got his own construction company, he's making money hand over fist, he's building hotels and pods and all sorts of stuff, and he says, I dug in and I sat down and I said, okay, I'm going to grade myself, and he started grading himself, and when he got down to husband, he gave himself a C. And he became distraught. because he had realized at 31 that, you know, as much as he loved his wife and did things for her and did different things, he said, you know what, I'm not giving my wife the same honor I'm giving my business. She deserves to be treated. Because otherwise I'm just chasing money and I'm chasing success when my wife deserves to be honored every moment of the day. It was just beautiful. It's just a great thing. So it was just a beautiful, but that's the kind of stuff I'm talking about, that what are we neglecting in our life for the sake of something else? And some of you might be neglecting your manifesting business. So maybe that's the one. Maybe it's the whole thing about success. Because, and I'm going to suggest, if you're neglecting that, there's something wrong in your belief system. So you got to go back to that belief, foundational belief model. But remember, success is only achieved if we develop a balance in these six items. So that is probably one of the things on the outline that you ought to take your highlighter and you ought to just really highlight. Because we don't focus on that. A lot of times when we think of success, we end up focusing on one thing only instead of the balance. Winning attitude, three components of winning attitude. You have to have a winning attitude. And that's a big aha for somebody on this call as well, I know. Three components, confidence, persistence, and enthusiasm are key ingredients for required for a winning attitude. And if you look in the Merriam-Webster Dictionary, winner, the word winner is defined as one that is successful, especially through praiseworthy ability and hard work. What is your belief when, notice how it says hard work. I want you to take that highlighter and highlight that hard work in that outline. What is your belief window around winning? So see, some people think winning is about, oh, I don't like to win because somebody, that means that a lot of other people have to lose. Whoa. Let me tell you what that belief is going to do for you in life. Destroy you. You'll never be successful. Because when you look at winning, that everybody else has to lose, why is that true? What did I just tell you about a race? What if I'm running a race? If I run the best I possibly can, I win. Is there always going to be somebody perhaps more talented than I am in running? Probably, but that doesn't mean I lose. I win because I gave it my all. And that's the beauty about running the race, is giving it your all, doing the best you can. Just the same as Manatech. Is there always going to be a double platinum presidential ahead of me in Manatech? Yeah, that's okay. Because I can win and they can win. We all can win. So look at life as win-win. You know, look at your belief around that and see, wow, man, that might be a big, huge, like, awakening for people. Confidence. Knowing you can, whatever it is that has to be done, that's confidence. And confident people are not afraid to try new things or take risks. I can tell you that. Some people who've known me for years said, Mary Jo, you came out of the womb with confidence. And I think some part of that might have some truth. I developed it very quickly with three older brothers who were like, or other brothers and sisters that were all within 3.5 years of birth. I mean, we had a big family. I mean, not big in terms of 15, but 4 and 3.5 years is a lot of kids. And I was the youngest, and I had to compete. So probably that's where my competitive thing came out, that I, you know, that's unquestionably where my competitive started. But I don't need to know where it started to fix it. I just need to know that it's not who I am. It's part of my belief system, and I can change. Well, confidence was like, you better have confidence or you don't survive, you know? So it was just part of life for me. And it comes from our belief about ourselves, and it either grows or diminishes with the results we achieve and the attitudes of people with whom we associate. So can you get robbed of your confidence by people? Oh, absolutely. Sometimes when I do marriage coaching around marriages, oh my gosh, it saddens my heart how a husband has robbed the wife, or a wife has robbed the husband of their confidence. Words are so powerful, and they're never to be wasted. Never to be wasted. And we're to honor each other. And it's just, whoa, boy, there's a lot of scripture that's like people like to rewrite today because they don't believe it. Why don't they believe it? Because look at how they behave with each other. So it's about helping, supporting, and lifting up people. And that's what we should be doing. But look at the people around you, and people that are like that around you are people that you shouldn't be around because they don't get it. I mean, you could try to highlight it to them. You can work with them on it. But, you know, maybe they're stuck in their belief window, and they don't even understand that it's just a belief that they can change. They think they're like Mary Jo was 20 years ago. So you got a problem with that person. I suggest you send them to some corner work or some self-development work so that they can get a new awakening on that. But confidence is something that kind of, and some of us have don't have confidence because let's talk about Manatech. Maybe we haven't been successful in Manatech, so we don't have a high level of confidence, right? And so how do we increase confidence? Well, one thing you do is you acknowledge achievements that you have. That's another reason why in all these network marketing companies, they love recognition. You know, regional, national, you know, power bonus, everything, there's always recognition. People who have the most, people coming to manifest and all, it's whatever it is, there's always recognition because it's all about acknowledgement. And so it's frequent acknowledgements, but you need to develop a way that you acknowledge achievements yourself. In other words, there's got to be some self-acknowledgement going on in your life about what you're accomplishing. And one of the great ways to start helping yourself with building confidence is to just write down everything you've achieved. Look back at your life and write down your achievements. It'll amaze you if you go back to the day you were born and you write down all the achievements that you had in your life. You're going to be shocked. But it's a good exercise to do to help acknowledge that. But acknowledging that helps build confidence. So keep that list around. If you get letters or notes from people, a lot of times when I'm out speaking and I'm, you know, traveling or even on my calls, you know, people will send in after Monday morning call. I get some incredible responses from people from the field. And it's really great because it's nice to have those. And I tend to go up, you know, I don't like that stuff because it seems to be, you know, it's like, I rather honor other people. That's just, but you got to take in because it's important for your own level of confidence that you take in, soak in what people are telling you. Take the great feedback they give you about with a greatness within you. So keep letters from you receiving your clients. Tony Jerry actually has a book that's like 2 inches thick of all the acknowledgement letters. He saved every one of them. So whenever he has a little spurt of lack of confidence, he might go back in there and start reading some of the things that he created, right? So experience, accomplishments, knowledge, understanding all work together to produce confidence and confidence as well. So one of the things I like to help people on when I say, how would you like to build confidence? Well, you know, just tell yourself, I'm going to sign one person up this month. I'm going to sign up one new associate this month and work really hard. Do something that should be able to be done without like killing yourself, like signing up one person. When Nutrivirus comes out, say, I'm going to get one person on Nutrivirus in my first week after it comes out. And just go out there and talk to people about this superfood, how easy it is. Sprinkle it on the food in your family. Here's some background on it. This is a no-brainer. For the price, you can't go wrong. And then you can go celebrate. And then maybe the next week you say, okay, I'm going to do two. Whatever. But build your confidence. Do it slowly. Don't come out and say, I'm going to be platinum presidential in 2 weeks. Why? Because that will destroy confidence. Because when it doesn't happen, what happens is you start beating yourself up for failure. And you go the opposite direction. So Tony wrote a book, Designing Your Life. And he talks about in there about accomplishments, you know, how to write up your accomplishments and keep it as something handy for you, because it's a designing your life is acknowledging where you've been and acknowledging yourself for what you've done. He also wrote in his book, I want to read this part. I had a paragraph in here in the Success Acceleration book. He said, in his book, the bestseller, Ron Willingham, says that lack of confidence is also caused by fear. He explains that when the Apostle John writes that perfect love drives out fear, the love referred to is that love that seeks the highest good for others. When you want the best for those you are serving, you become less self-centered and more focused on others. You lose your fear of rejection, appear more professional, and persuade with the highest form of persuasion, which is integrity. The result is confidence. Isn't that an awesome paragraph? I loved it. In fact, I just, it's one of my favorites. Maybe I'll have to just have Lydia type it up and send it out to you, because it just hits home. It hits home about, you know, when we want the best for those who we're serving, we become less self-centered and more focused on others. And that's truly what breeds our greatest level of confidence, because we're at our highest level of integrity. It's back to that win-win scenario. Okay, so that's confidence. Persistence is the third one for winning attitude, and that's just having the courage to overcome difficulties or opposition. I think if you set a new goal for yourself, he gave us 5 questions. I wrote them in the outline for you. I'm not going to review them, but you can look at them. If you ask these 5 questions, after you set a new goal, ask these 5 questions. If three or more of them are no, in other words, you haven't done, then you probably are going to quit before you accomplish the goal. Because you haven't done the background work to really establish it as a meaningful goal in your life. So it's a great question. I mean, this series of five questions, I think, can benefit you, especially if you have a goal post-manifest. And we're going to do a lot of goal setting after manifest because, you know, manifest is going to be creating a whole new, it's a new day in Manatech. So it's going to change our way of doing Manatech. It's going to be changing our approach to Manatech. It's going to be changing what we can create through Manatech. So it's going to be a new goal, a new directive for us. So it's going to be looking at it from a new perspective. And I love the concept of having a checklist to say, I want to make sure I'm really bought in. I have to be bought into my own goals. I have to be really focused to be into. And then the third, so we have confidence, persistence, and the third element of a winning attitude is enthusiasm, and that's being inspired. If it's something that naturally flows out of us when we're 100% committed to what we are striving to accomplish. In other words, it's impossible not to be enthusiastic. If you're 100% committed, you'll be enthusiastic, right? And we know what the word enthuse is. It's God within, right? Enthuse, God within. So enthusiastic. We're positive. We're directed. Okay, so winning attitude we all need. Okay, so that's the first part. That's foundation. That's just laying the foundation. Boy, I could do a whole call just on laying the foundation, couldn't I? I could go on and on. But let's move forward because I have to get through the book. But that was great. And maybe there's something in here. Again, take your highlighter, work through the issues for you, what you need to work on, and get to work on them. Because without cracks in the foundation, there'll be no really movement forward. Second step is strategies. So what kind of strategies do we need to develop, right? We need to success first requires action, that's for sure, because if you don't take action, you won't ever go anywhere. And I wanted to give you the definition of success. Tony kind of drafted his own. He said, I would like to give you my own definition of success. I believe we're successful when we are able to consistently accomplish predetermined written goals and motivate positive actions in other people that support, complement, and enhance our goals. That's his definition of success. So he says what's really critical with success is planning and action is essential. If you take the same actions you've always been taking, what kind of results you're going to create? Same results. So again, a good plan and we have to correct action is required. So we may have been doing not such correct action, so we've got to start evaluating the actions that we've been doing and say, how can we do this better? We can't keep doing the same things over and over again. Or what's the definition of insanity? Doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results, right? So we clearly know we need to take different actions. Changing our action usually involves going through four stages of awareness and competence. And I love this because this really applies to what I talked about earlier about our belief windows. Our first stage is unconscious incompetence. We don't know what we don't know. Like for Mary Jo, I didn't know that I could change my competitiveness. I didn't know that. I thought that was part of my character, who I was, the inner essence of beingness of Mary Jo Hilliker. I didn't know that. Now, some of you might be on the call going, boy, that's pretty stupid, Mary Jo. You might be in the judgment over that. But you know, it was really something I didn't. As smart as I was in my own field, of course, very focused. See, I was building. My education was always about putting building blocks on top of what I already had. Instead of going back and reformulating the foundation, I was just putting more and more building blocks. So I kept getting more and more degrees and more accolades and, you know, being a lawyer and posing along. But, you know, I missed some real basic concepts. So I really didn't know that it was something. I was in unconscious incompetence around my belief windows. That's where I was. 20 years ago, I was in unconscious incompetence around my belief windows. And then all of a sudden, we get to conscious incompetence, which is, what is that? That means, oh my gosh, I know now that I can change my belief windows. But I also am aware of the fact that I lack the ability to accomplish a task. In other words, I don't have the tools to accomplish that task, right? So I have conscious incompetence. That's a second tier. And you can apply this to any part of your life. I'm just giving you a tie-in to the belief foundation, our belief windows. Okay, and then we hit the third cycle, which is conscious competence. That's where we start getting the tools and we start taking action. That's like me when I first started taking action. I went to some good self-development courses. I took some trainings. I had some coaching done. And now I started taking action to overcome my inability to deal with competition. So I started taking it. And today, I'm in the unconscious competence. I'm in unconscious competence. Why? Because my ability today to be able to play any game on the face of the earth and have joy from start to finish, whether I win or lose, is so easy. It's just, it's second nature to me. It's almost like some of my family members at Christmas, they look at me and they go, what happened to you? You know, you know, and that, I mean, that doesn't happen now, but I mean, 8 years ago, they were saying those things to me. But it's cool. I mean, you just, but this is the process that we go through. So change interaction involves four stages. And, so we need to be willing to change that action, but we need to first really understand that a lot of us are in unconscious incompetence right now, and we got to get something hit us in the head to open our eyes. And hopefully, maybe some of the Monday morning calls, maybe this call today is opening your eyes to something. Whatever it's doing for you, grab onto those moments, those crystal clear thoughts that you're having, saying, "Boy, this is screaming at me. I better look at it." And don't just put it aside, because if you don't change, life won't change for you. Okay, then you have goal setting. Nothing happens until we set our sights on where we want to go. And clear, everybody knows we need to set goals. I don't need to really run through that. And he has three criteria for setting goals. They have to be achievable, which is part of the SMART formula. Review and thoroughly evaluate the progress on your goals at least four times per year. That's something that we probably don't do. And, you know, I'm hammering that out now post-manifest. I'm going to reevaluate the goals, because I set goals this year based on not really knowing what was going to happen at manifest. Now I have this great idea, so I've got a whole new, you know, group of goals. I've actually started setting them already with my own mind, but I'm going to do a formal set post-manifest once I get all the information together and can make a better structured concept of what's going to happen. So you want to evaluate your goals, because different things happen in our life that can change them, and it's not about, you know, taking away certain aspects because you're not working. I don't want you to say, well, I'm procrastinating, so I'm going to cut out my goal. No, stop procrastinating. Don't downgrade your goal. Don't sacrifice life because you procrastinate, right? Change the procrastination. Go after the right issue. Don't go after the wrong issue. And too many times we do that. And then share your goals with others and seek their help and assistance. Support, accountability, greater clarity, fine-tuning. All of these are gifts that people in this world have to give you. And if you're not asking for them, you're out there, and we're going to talk about the Lone Ranger concept in a minute. You're part of Lone Ranger syndrome. And you can look at your life and say, wow, how have I done that? How's that working for you? Lone Ranger syndrome is basically saying, yeah, I think Lone Ranger syndrome is an egotistical syndrome. It's something about, I'm good enough that I don't need help. And all of us need help, because none of us are good enough. All of us are inadequate. And that's why we need to go out and search out and get feedback and work with groups of people. Today I'm in two mastermind groups, and I'm in a Tony Jury special coaching group. So I have three things outside groups of people that I'm working with. And I also have a few mentors in my life that I work with. When I have issues or problems or ideas, I can bounce off of them. Those are incredibly critical people, because I need feedback all the time. It helps me be the best I can be. Otherwise, who's determining how good I'm going to be is just what I know, what's inside of me, and I'm inadequate. I have blind spots, and I want to be helped to get overcome those. Okay, so B is maximizing personal effectiveness. Effective people generally show the following five characteristics. So you can look at this list of five and say, okay, what am I missing here? Do I accept responsibility? Do I get results? Am I energetic? Am I competent? And am I open to correcting principles in my belief windows? Right? And what I did is I gave you a chart. I attached it as attachment to the outline. So you can just assess yourself. Okay? So it's called maximizing personal effectiveness, critical factor strengths. So evaluate yourself from 1 to 10, 10 being the best, 1 being the least, and see where your levels are. And now you've got a certain aspect where you've got to work on it, because you're holding yourself back because of this issue, and you want to work on that. Time is involved. All five of these qualities are related to time. They understand the nature of time and effective people understand the nature of time and how to maximize their time. They recognize it as the most valuable asset. And for me, I always call it our only limited asset, because you can never get more time. You only have as much time as you have. So He says, if you want to look at yourself and say how well are you performing in time management, he came up with 5 questions on that, and they're great questions, because some of you are gonna you think you're great time managers, but when you answer these 5 questions, you're gonna find out, oops. So look at them. What time do you start each day? Oh, I roll out of bed about 10 for Mary Jo's call on Monday morning. No. Okay, are you an on-time person? That's huge for 101 reasons. I call it an integrity issue. You should be on time or early for every single appointment you ever have. When you have a project to do, how much time do you spend getting ready before you start? Are you one of these get-ready people? Right? Yeah. How much time are you wasting getting ready? And what are your top 3 time-wasting activities? And we've done this exercise before in the past about what are we using, and that's it's important for us to recognize them so that we stop letting them rob our times. And then, do you scramble to meet deadlines? So you're not a planner. All these things are time management issues. And if any of them, if you look at your answer to those, you're going to find out how poorly you are in time management or how good you are in time management. You want to develop a strategy for maximizing your effectiveness in the time dedicated. I like to set time frames where I finish projects, you know, a day in advance or 2 days in advance or 5 hours in advance, whatever. I put deadlines that are a long time in advance of the actual deadline, because that helps me be able to assimilate what I've completed and maybe fine-tune it, whereas if I'm finishing it just at the nick of time, have you really had a chance to assimilate it and fine-tune it? Because your brain continues to work on it. If you give your brain time to work on it, it'll start accumulating more data and give you more feedback. So you just want to, even sleeping on something. Have you ever done that where you sleep on something, you come up the next morning, you have some brilliant idea? Yeah, that's what you want to do. You want to create brilliant ideas, not just mediocre ideas. You want to create brilliant. Well, if you're scrambling to meet deadlines, you're never going to be brilliant in your ideas, because they're always going to be last minute, probably not very well thought out, because you didn't give time to do it. All right, see, planning, goal setting, and speed. First say to yourself, what would you be, and then do what you have to do. Tony has a goal book that's over 85 pages long. He sets goals every year. He goes back and looks at them 4 times a year, and he keeps them and accumulates them because it's his way of creating maximum results. You have to have a planning process, and the planning process should contain a vision for the future. Because the ability to visualize the future is critical for anyone's success. It should create an objective analysis of the current conditions. This is probably the one that people leave out the most. In other words, they fail to, they don't want to look at where their life is today. You want to look at your life today, and you want to grab onto it and hold onto it, and like it's clear. Because it's a starting point. And, you know, if you look at any of the books written out there, any kind of success books, they always talk about creating the tension between where you are today and where you're going to go. And you know what? Some of you never can create that tension because you won't accept your current reality. And it doesn't mean go into depression. It just means be an acceptance and acknowledgement of where you are today, so you have a reality step, and now you can see where you're going to go. And it creates the tension which allows you to get there. You need that tension because it's like a rubber band. You pull the rubber band, it's going to snap because you're putting tension there. But if you don't acknowledge where you are today, guess what? No tension ever exists, and you never get where you want to go, and you can't figure out why you're never getting there because you're never being real with yourself about where you're starting from. So critical, a commitment to setting goals always. We talked about plan. Without goals is not a plan. So you can't have a plan in terms of directional steps if there's no end goal. A plan for accomplishing those goals. 4 keys to determining what must be done to accomplish goals, and he gives these specific action steps, embedded timelines, measured success, which he calls critical success factors, and tools and resources to use. Now, in regard to that, one of the things I'm using with Tony right now in some of our work that we're doing is he presented us a strategic acceleration business framework. And it's a great document. It's like a 1-page document for your life plan. You can have it for the next year, for that. And I want you to all look at it. It's attached. I gave it to you attached to the outline today. And fill it in. It will really give you incredible clarity about where you are, where you're going, what your direction is, what your strategies are. I mean, it's just incredible, all in one document. And rarely have we ever put all this information in one document. I never had in my life until I did this exercise, and I find it incredibly enlightening and helpful. So I've attached it for all of you as a benefit as well. And it's just about planning, goal setting, speed, all of that's in there. The people factor, we talked earlier about the Lone Ranger syndrome. Although you may come up with good ideas, being most effective in carrying them out is dependent on others and fine-tuning them, right? And learn from others how to achieve results at a greater speed, because really, you're only going to be able to achieve results at the speed that you know of. Other people can come in and give you advice and keep you off of bunny trails and give you more expertise than you have accumulated in your entire lifetime that can cause you to get somewhere twice as fast as you could. And that's just an example. It could be 10 times as fast. But that's why you need to tap into people around you. All of us have people around us that could potentially be mentors. We just never have looked at it because we've chosen the Lone Ranger syndrome. Or something inside of us, and our belief window tells us we're not good enough, or we're not worthy, or all this jazz, razzmatazz jazz that we've developed that just eats us up. Get rid of it. It's part of your belief window that's wrong, and it's part of your belief window that's not serving you. It's not effective for you. People who are successful in this world love to help other people get where they are. They love it. I love working with my Manatech organization. I love working with my associates. I love doing my coaching with people in my foundation, because I love for them to get solid in their view of the world, in their view of their role, in their ability to communicate and listen. I want them to be the best they can be. So how can you ever sit back and say, there's not a mentor out there for me, when that's exactly the people who are successful have that joy in their heart to do that with other people? All right, the last section of the book was on tactics. You can't do it alone. Tony believes most valuable asset he has is his connection base of friends, associates, and business contacts. This is kind of what we just talked about. Not necessarily a formal mentor relationship, but just you collect everybody that you know. So if you have a question about something, you can talk to them. Or you take them out to lunch once in a while and bounce ideas. Or you take them out to lunch just to catch up with them. And you just listen to them, and you absorb from them. Because, again, it gets back to the same thinking that got you where you're going to get is not going to get you any further. It's like the same thinking that got you into the hole you're in is going to keep you in that hole. You need different ideas. You need different experiences. You need to be open and ready to listen and understand and come with a blank slate, a blank mind, and just be able to absorb, right? New information fuels your success engine. And so we need to be attracting new information. And he says his connection base is most crucial. How many of you have a Rolodex, or you have in your computer, you keep a list of people that are mentors or potential mentors or people that you know that could contribute to you in a huge way? That's what you want to go in. You're going to dig into them, find them, work with them, have them become a part of your life. That doesn't mean you talk to them once a week. It might be once a month. It might be once a quarter. It might be once a year. But they're contributors to your life. Learn from the winners. Here's probably the number one thing Tony Jury's, from in my mind, that I view him as. He is a master at modeling distinctions. What does it mean? Well, distinctions are what cause one person to stand out from another. So what makes this person successful versus this person? How does this person achieve what she's achieved? Maybe this person is very disciplined. Maybe this person is very outgoing. Maybe this person is a superb listener. But we study distinctions. Look and evaluate what is causing people in Manatech to be highly successful. Understand what they're doing. That's why Manifest is so huge for people. You've got tons of presidential directors there that are very successful in Manatech, and you have an opportunity to interface with them and ask them any questions you want, because they're all open, ready to share. They love to talk to you. They'll work with you. So the idea is, you want to be around those people because you want to do what? You want to find out what the distinctions are. What are they doing I'm not doing? What is it about them that's different from me? Find the distinctions and then evaluate those. List them down. Now, some of the distinctions, maybe you're going to evaluate and say, you know what? That's not something that's going to, you know, move me forward. But don't go into judgment around it without maybe bouncing it off of some other friends of yours. And not people that are aligned with you because you've convinced them that you're right and everybody else is wrong. Of course, again, going back to that belief window. But you got to be really open and ready to try something new and different. Be new and different. Right? So distinctions. It's about and he talks about it all the time. He says, let's talk about distinctions, because distinctions are critical for developing best practices. And one of the words he uses is benchmarking, an activity designed to discover and attain an understanding of the best specific practices responsible for outstanding achievement. And that's what he does. He benchmarks. And that's what, in corporate America, it happens all the time. People are looking at the Apple model and tearing it to bits today. Because why? Because they're looking at the Apple model as, oh my gosh, if this company can be this wildly successful, we're going to benchmark. We're going to model the distinctions. We're going to develop best practices because obviously Apple's got something going on, whether it's in their marketing. What happened? The head marketing guy at Apple got hired by as a CEO of Penny's. What do you think? People aren't benchmarking? They're stealing the talent to be able to benchmark in their own way. In other words, I'm not going to go and copy what they're doing. I'm going to buy the guy. I'm going to hire the guy who did it. Right? Okay. Right? But, I mean, that's what we're looking for, best practices. So find out there when you talk about, right now in my class I'm doing on Monday night, we're talking about a customer care program. And I had everybody in the class contribute and pour in whatever they wanted to in terms of, you know, giving us a contribution towards customer care program from which we're going to develop that, you know, take all the ideas, assimilate them, and come up with a core customer care program. Isn't that awesome? I mean, it's taking ideas from 150 people into one customer care program. So, but that's what we want to do. We want to go out and aggregate ideas. Does that mean it's going to be the best possible pair? No, it just means it's going to be better than what I could have created by myself. It's going to be better than what everybody in the class could have created by themselves because we have an accumulation of knowledge and ideas and we can assimilate them and create the best possible customer care program, right? So benchmarking, we're going to do best practices. What are best practices? You want best practices. You want best practices in how to work the Navigate system. You want best practices in reactivation. You want best practice. You're looking all the time for best practices. One of the reasons people sign up for my programs that I do is because they look at Mary Jo and they say, well, she has 13, 15 years experience in Manatech and she studied all these things and maybe she's going to really contribute to my life because she has a greater knowledge of best practices than I would. And that's invaluable to me because if I can save, if I can become more efficient and more effective, guess what? I'll create better results. So how committed are you to your results? Absolutely. And that's what benchmarking is about, right? It's critical for a success acceleration. Does it mean you're not going to be successful if you don't benchmark? No, it just means you're going to be successful faster if you do. And this is about success acceleration. So Tony's another one. He reads over 100 books every year, and he does a two-page summary of distinctions, okay? Distinctions meaning what's in the book that really grabbed him that are distinctions from what he might be doing himself. They're critical factors that can help change his life. And that's how he does it. You know Mary Jo does a book review. I think I've sent to all of you a copy of my book review. In fact, I have people who read books, and I go, how did it change your life? I love it when people say to me, Mary Jo, I read this book, and it's a great book. And I go, great, it's a great book. How did it change your life? And they go, well, I don't know that it changed my life. I go, oh, really? So why is it a great book? You understand? I'm so into change. I mean, if you're reading a book, you want to make changes. When I read Strategic Acceleration, right, instead of Success Acceleration. A Strategic Acceleration, when I read that book, I mean, I started living, breathing every day, you know, and developing that, getting the clarity, getting rid of procrastination. I mean, I really got focused on it. It changed my life. If you read a book and it doesn't change your life, then it's not a good book. It's probably not that it's not a good book. It's probably you just weren't willing and open to change. You loved what you saw, but something inside your belief window said, I can't do that, or it's not for me, or all this garbage, right? Now we go back to the foundation. Our belief window really stinks because I want you to write down the word change and tell me what your belief is about change. See, my belief around change is I want to do it every day of my life because I have another core belief that goes like this. I will not have arrived until I'm sitting by my Heavenly Father in heaven. So if I've not arrived till then, what do I need to do every day of my life? I need to continue to grow. And the only way I grow is if I change. So change is critical. So what's your belief around change? So, but anyway, Tony does this, and I do my own book reviews about how it changes my life. In fact, I do them after chapters. I'm suggesting to you that you can look at, I gave you an example. In fact, that's what Lydia sent out as a second send out because we didn't get it attached to the outline. But it's a book review he just did on 5 love languages. And it's not, I've seen other ones, Lydia, just having to pull that one up. But it's just distinctions that can serve him. So it's about doing book reviews and pulling out things that serve you. And he reads over 100 books a year. Isn't that fascinating? I don't even do that. I mean, if I get 25 or 30 in a year, maybe. I don't know, maybe 40, but not many more than that. And some of you are going, oh my gosh, Mary Jo, I don't even read one book a year. And I'm not talking about, you know, trash novels. I'm talking about books that really, like Success Acceleration, books that truly serve you in a huge way to help you change your life. The Power of Your Presentations, this is the last part of the book and not the least important, so give me 5 minutes to go over this and we'll be done. The Power of Your Presentations. I firmly believe that people who become most successful are those who are able to skillfully convince and persuade other people. This is not about presentations you do in front of hundreds of people. This is about every single time you open your mouth, you are presenting. Our communication skills are absolutely crucial. Absolutely crucial. They're critical to success. One of the best ways to persuade others is with your ears, listening to them. Do you like that quote from Dean Rusk? And then Dale Carnegie wrote that 85% of a person's financial success is related to his or her personality and ability to lead people. Thus, the presentation skill is the undiscovered secret of success. What are you doing to improve yours? Build a plan and follow it. This means be willing to get feedback. Do a presentation, get feedback. Fine-tune, do it again, get feedback. Fine-tune. It's a process. It goes over and over and over. I remember when I first started in Manatech and I gave my first presentation. Boy, did I get feedback. Rap, 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 you know. And I took some, I didn't, left out others. And I should have took more of what people told me, but I was still a little bit and I had to be right, right? So, but the idea is that you want to be out there getting as much feedback as possible. Build your plan. And you need to build a plan about presentation skills. Some people go to Toastmasters, but that's more about public speaking. But it also will help, though, in presentation style. People's decisions are based on three things. What they believe, so you have to help them believe what you say. How they think, so you need to relate to them on how they think. In other words, what personality quadrant are they coming from? Analysts think one way, promoters think a totally different way, controllers think a totally different way, and so do supporters. So you need to know how they think so that you can relate to how they think. And then the third thing is how they feel about things. You want to make sure they feel good about what you're doing. One of the feel-good things about Manatech is, of course, the Give for Real program, but all of those. Manipulation is a concept of getting people to do things, but they don't believe it. In other words, you've just manipulated them into it. And that is not what we're about. That's what old-timey network marketing was all about. We're not about that. Hopefully, we're about authentic. And then he talks about the four standard keys to success, every one of them, goal setting, and he has a separate part in each of the chapter in each one of these. Goal setting, strong work ethic, positive attitude, discipline, and persistence. All of those require good presentation or communication skills. Otherwise, you won't get the best possible results. So another concept you had in here was this mental savings account, and I think this is great. Every time you talk to somebody, understand and recognize that you're building a mental savings account in their head. They're going to evaluate you on whether you're authentic, truthful, eye contact, listening well, body language, empathy, adjusting vocabulary, using the preferred medium of communication. In other words, if people like to text, you better text. Don't send somebody emails that doesn't email, or somebody is text that doesn't text. Use a preferred method of communication for them. That's you being empathetic and understanding of their needs. Practice production before perfection. That's a concept, PBP, that came out of his strategic acceleration book as well. It's the idea about taking action even though you don't have all the answers. Get out of procrastination. It's one of the worst possible habits. That's why you need a habit to replace it, so you develop the habit of PBP. Start marching before you know all the answers, and guess what? Because nothing ever marches up a straight line anyway. It always falls back and comes up and back, but you keep out of procrastination. And then the productive power of lists. This is one of the things I'm adopting in my, I do lists already, but Tony gave me a whole new idea of how to do lists. But it's great, the concept of lists. He does lists every 24 to 48 hours. He rewrites his lists. And he puts it all on 8.5 by 11 sheet. He doesn't even use any technology because he finds that it's easier for him to edit and make notes as he goes along in his days on his list. So his little legal pad goes with him everywhere he goes, and he's just commenting and make notes and edit, and then he comes back. And he finds that when he rewrites things, that helps him, you know, be aware that he's got to get them done. that brings it up to an awareness level, and it's he doesn't want to rewrite something five times because that, you know, imagine if you had to rewrite, if you were a procrastinator, you had to rewrite every day what you didn't get done the day before. Pretty soon you're going to start being more effective, don't you think? I mean, it was just a great idea. And he spends over 400 hours, he thinks, on a yearly basis just with the lists. That's how much time. Wow. And he's a time management guy, and he says, don't you think I care about my time? I am supreme time manager, but that's how important lists are for creating results. And you could do it on the computer. He's not down to loading, but he's just saying, you got to get back in there, you know, every 24 to 48 hours. So then he just gives you what it creates for him. Okay, people, that's it. What a great book. Did you anyone learn anything from today? Anything on this outline that might help you? Anyone? Oh,
Mary Jo, thank you so much. This is Evangelina. And
you are
always an inspiration and makes me go, go, go. And it is working in every area of my life. I want to do that for my Lord. I want to honor him. And
yes.
I just want to thank you because all that you say is just so helpful.
Yeah. Thank you, Evangelina. Thank you, dear. Yep. Go ahead. Next.
Hi, Mary Jo. It's Mary Jo in St. Louis. I just wanted to say thank you. I don't get on your calls very often, but I found this to be very inviting to make a plan to get on it this morning. And the outline and the little format at the end to put it all together is really great. So I thank you for reading the book and encapsulating everything for us. That's great. Thanks.
Wonderful. Good, good. Use it. We'll watch you walk across stage as a new presidential. Like, you're going there.
I'm looking forward to the new product. I think the manifest is going to be awesome.
It will be awesome. So I'll see you there in a week and a half.
Yep, you will.
Yay, yay, yay. Good. Glad you're coming. Anyone else?
Yes, this is Rudy. Can you hear me?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, you woken up something in me by your one little phrase there, saying that until you're at the right hand of God, then you're going to try to keep achieving. And time that I stay still, I'll say, well, I'm not at the right hand of God yet, so I better get moving.
There you go. Amen to that, Rudy. You got it. You stop growing, you might as well die. I mean, it's just it's a green or growing type thing. You know, you're either the three phases of life. People talk about green and growing, stabilized, or ripe and rotting. And the reality is, there is no stability. We're either green or growing, or we're ripe and rotting. So it's an easy choice for me to make that I'm going to be green and growing. Yeah. Okay, who's next?
This is Rebecca.
Hi, Rebecca.
I'm going to put change on my computer wherever I am on my notes, on my list today. Change, that I can do that.
Good.
Yeah.
And great. And you know what you need to do, Rebecca? Try to work on, run around that belief system window for yourself. Write the word change down and just without the call today, just think back and say, what have been my outlook of change? Okay, and just kind of write in how did I view change, and then what can I give as my foundational belief window? What new meaning can I give to change? And just write that down and say, here's my new belief. Just like Mary Jo had to about, you know, competitiveness, or we need to displace our different beliefs around things with more effective beliefs. Otherwise, if we just say something, it's not a displacement. It's just, oh, this sounds great today, and by next week it'll be gone. We really need to work on and I would even put, if change is an issue for you, I would even put it on my goal sheet. I would put it on my to-do list. Because I think I've trained you guys in the past about your to-do list should also have a to-be part to it, too, right? What are the beingness things that you're working on? Well, those can be your belief systems. What do you want to shift in your belief system? So make that part of your to-do list, And every day you emphasize it. You know, you do something because, you know, it's like habits. It takes time for you to shift, and it's not easy. I mean, for me, when I had to overcome my competitiveness, it didn't happen in one day. I mean, it probably took me 6 months before I really saw, you know, incredible progress. I mean, I saw progress so, but I still had the nature inside me because that belief system was still, you know, having some major, you know, it was like a normal, it was like second nature. When things come second nature to you, it's hard to change that second nature without really working on it. So that's what I'm saying to you about the change concept, that just start falling in love with change, fall in love with growth, and just say, okay, what am I changing? What's going to happen today? Even, and that's one of the reasons when you go to some of these self-development seminars, I know I've been to a couple different ones, and they'll go, okay, tomorrow, when you go home tonight, do something totally different. Like, you know, put your underwear on inside out, brush your teeth with your left hand, put your part on the other side. Why do they tell you to do that? They tell you, and you know, when you first go through a seminar, you're thinking, this is a dumb exercise. But the reality behind it is the openness and willing to participate in change. If we want things to be different in our life, we have to be ready and open, and open our arms and hands and everything to change, doing something totally different. Okay?
That's really good, because when I was in my personal development thing with Clemmer stuff, one of the things I did is when I had an office, I could open it whenever I wanted, but I said, I'm going to open it 15 minutes early, be early rather than late.
There you go. Perfect. Isn't that wonderful? And that's what you should do. And then, you know, and sometimes those things, they last for a few months, and then you stop doing them for some reason because you're falling back into the old habit. But you got to say, no, I'm never going to fall back in that old habit. So it becomes a new habit replacing the old habit, and it's never to go back again. Because you know what? The old habit wasn't effective for me. You can tie any lack of success into that old habit, because that's what you can say. I blame 100% of my not being, you know, a multimillionaire today on opening my office 15 minutes late or you're not on time. Right? Yeah, I mean, and then I'm going to tell you, it'll light a fire into you. You're always going to be there 15 minutes early.
Yep. Amen. Thank you.
There you go. Great. Okay, everybody. Love you all. You guys have a great week. We'll be on. I think we're doing Monday call, even the week of Manifest, right? Yes. Lydia says she's shaking her head, so notwithstanding everything else we're preparing for. Plus, for those of us going to Manifest, I know this is going to be your IRS week because it's tax week. We got to get the tax returns in, so for me as well. So there's a lot of things on the agenda, but I will definitely be on Monday call next week. And then, of course, the week after you get the Monday call is the Manifest Wrap, and that's going to be awesome as well. Okay, everybody, love you all. Have a great week.
Happy Easter.
Happy Easter, too. Absolutely. Happy Good Friday. All right. Bye-bye, everybody.